You're listening to talkingtrading.com.au. Share market expert interviews to fuel your profits, squash your fears, and drive you towards exceptional trading habits. It'll help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Tune in anywhere, anytime. Now, let's get on with the show with Caroline Stephen.
Hello and welcome to another show. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have your company. We talked to trader and author Dave Bell today about his extraordinary journey into the share market. We hear how he graduated from the school of financial hard knocks to become a successful trader who's following his passions in life. Ever heard of the seven deadly sins? Well, how do they apply to the share market? We talked to Louise Bedford today to find out. Listen up, because this interview is going to save you a whole lot of money. Catherine Duck, a graduate at the Alumni Dinner, talks to us about the mentor program and how it's changed her from playing space invaders with the markets to becoming a consistent and successful trader. And we also find out what Louise Bedford is reading this week. But first up, here's Market Matters. Since the appearance of a symmetrical triangle on the All Ords last week, the Aussie market has moved up just a little. We're not at the stage where a definitive breakout has occurred yet, though. Louise Bedford says the bulls will be happy to note that because the All Ords completed the formation of a morning star on a weekly chart, it has progressed up, confirming that pattern. We'll just have to see whether this little bounce holds and if it continues in the week to come. That's the market wrap. Dave Bell was from the School of Financial Hard Knocks, and he majored in the art of working really hard while going broke slowly. But in the year 2000, he met someone who changed his life. Dave began to trade the share markets, and he had so much success, he was able to quit his job and pursue his passions in life. He's subsequently written the book The Gardener's Guide to Growing Money Trees, which has gone on to win major international awards. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Carolyn.
So you've had a rather rocky start to your working life. Tell us a little bit about your financial past.
Your rather rocky start would be an understatement. Without going into too much detail here, but just quickly, probably the first 20 years really didn't do too well at all. And then I had a business and I lost through an injury. So I lost a landscaping business as well. So all in all, it was pretty tough.
You've mentioned to me before that you led a hand-to-mouth existence where you lived as poor as a church mouse. Was that true?
It was true, yeah. No, I everything I had was pretty well second-hand, didn't own a house. I had a really poor car that was handed down to me and pretty well hand-to-mouth, yeah.
So what happened to change your life?
Well, I always loved helping people with their garden, and I just happened to chose the right guy once. I didn't know that, but I helped someone with his garden, and after a couple of years, when he sold the house, he got quite a bit more money for it and then said, well, you've helped me. Can I do something for you? And I said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, I trade shares. And I said, well, that's no good to me. I don't know anything about it. And then he started saying, well, look, I might be able to teach you.
So how did he teach you? What did he teach you?
Well, at the start, it was more follow the leader than teach. Because I didn't know anything, so I was beyond learning and trading at that point. But he basically said, look, I'm going to tell you the trades I make. I'll tell you what price I'm getting in. I'll tell you what price I'm getting out. If you want to follow me, then you do that. If you make money, it's yours. Don't look at me. If you lose money, it's yours. Don't look at me. If you're willing to lose the money that you put in and you want to play like that, feel free. And that was 10 years ago or more, and he's still doing it today.
And did that subsequently change your fortunes?
Did it ever, Carolyn? Whoa, did it ever. I used to taxi days, because I used to drive cabs at night to help with my income. So I used to press a button, you know, like a buy and a sell. And I remember one time I pressed a button, and you might have made $100 a day for 12 hours work as a cab driver, $8 an hour. And I remember one day I hit a button and I'd done 20 cab days in one hit of the button. And I thought, that's the way to go. So it changed enormously. And of course, everyone knows that period from 2000-2007. I didn't know that at the time, but it was that huge boom in resources. This guy knew all about resources, and there's an old saying, Carol. I always remember. It's a rising tide lifts all boats in the share market, and when you're on a, you know, that when the tide's going your direction, then basically everyone makes money.
Or really, when you run with the bulls, you run hard.
Yeah, when you do that, follow the trend. Well, the other one is the trend is my friend till the bend at the end. That's the other one that always makes me laugh too. You got to watch for the bend at the end.
I think that's a favourite of Chris Tate's too, actually.
Isn't it? Because that's the one where you lose all your money in about, a tenth of the time or a 50th of the time, you know. From years of hard slog, it's all gone in a blink of an eye.
They listen, I just want to change tack. They say that the share market is a tough, tough mistress. What's the share market taught you about yourself?
Oh, that there's books and books on that, Karen. Look, in the end of the day, I think you see a reflection of yourself in the market. In other words, if you're a greedy person, your greed will be reflected in your trades. And if you're too careful, then that will be reflected. If you like risk, then that will be reflected. And if you have a real major character fault, and we've all got character flaws, but if you've got a really major one, that will eventually jump out of the screen at you, because it's almost like you can't get away from yourself. So this is what I found. So I had to rectify some of the – I was a little bit too cautious at times. Luckily, I wasn't overly greedy, and I don't blame – I mean, everyone's greedy to an extent, but I wasn't overly, and that's the one that gets most people. I think it's greed at the end.
Did you have any other strengths you'd like to talk about?
Not scared to take a loss, like your first loss, best loss. That's the one. So many people, you know, they won't trade. They won't. I'm going to sit and wait until I get my money back at least, right? Well, the market doesn't work like that. It doesn't care about what you bought it for or whatever. So sometimes you need to take a loss. And the biggest learning experience was my first big loss. But I subsequently reinvested that money and made a lot on the money that I'd reinvested. But the point was you do need to know when to take a loss. And, you know, Karen, a lot of people can't. That's a real problem for people. They say, no, I'm not gonna lose money. I'm going to wait until I get what I paid for and then I'll get out.
Great. Okay. So do you have any favourite sayings about the share market, being an author and all?
Yeah. The bend at the end, the trend is my friend till the bend at the end. The other one I quite like is the share market is where money moves from the impatient to the patient.
Yes.
That one always gets me, because as an early trader, I've been doing it for 10, 12 years, but in the early days, most of us, if not all of us, are very impatient. It's just human nature. There's some that are patient, but you know, it's so easy to chase. So when you're buying, you chase the price, or selling, you won't just buy it, sell at market. You'll chase a particular price you want. And often the market doesn't care what you want. So sometimes you need to get out at market.
Your book, The Gardener's Guide to Growing Money Trees, I have it in my hot little hand, and Dave, it is such a beautiful book. It combines your talents as an author, your passion for gardening, and obviously you funded it through your share trading. And it's a picture book full of captions and beautiful, beautiful photographs. And I just want to draw everyone's attention to one image in particular. It's on page 63, and the image is of a bird sitting on top of roast chickens in a chicken shop, looking down at the chickens. And the title is What's Cooking? And underneath the caption is Know When to Get Out of the Market to Avoid Getting Roasted. It's very funny. Tell us about that picture.
Oh, thanks, Carolyn. Yeah, that's one of my favourites. It's not been photoshopped on. You couldn't even make that picture if you wanted.
So but that bird is a bona fide bird.
He's a bona fide bird because I got a second photo of him flying straight back, and it's in the back of the book. So there's that second shot. So no, he hasn't been photoshopped on. But anyone that sees it, it's just the most. I don't know how quite how you describe it. It's the most amazing photo. It's a rotisserie, an open market in Paris. A pigeon has flown down onto a rotisserie, and it is sitting on the edge of the rotisserie looking at all the chickens getting roasted. And the thing for me with that photo, and this is in the share market section on the book, and it's my observation on the market. And very quickly, 2007, I traded full-time for a number of years. I was sitting on the market the day the Dow dropped 600 points. And, Carolyn, you could almost feel the fear through the computer. It was just incredible. And it was like sitting there getting roasted. And I'm sitting there looking and thinking, man, am I going to sell it? All my profit is just evaporating before my eyes. I'm thinking, at what point do I sell? Do I this? Do I that? So it was this feeling of looking at myself getting roasted. And that's what that photo, this quizzical look of this pigeon captures, looking at these chickens. It's like it's saying, is that you in there, Bruce? Is that you?
I just want to talk about very quickly how you've transformed share trading into following the passions in your life.
Well, the share market was wonderful, and my friend Craig was wonderful, and it gave me money to, you know, get a house, buy a car, quit my job, work on this book full time since 2006. Took me 4 years to do the book. So it's given me basically a new life, Carolyn. It's just been remarkable. Like a man with no money, no prospects, all of a sudden, you know, doesn't have to work for X number of years, you know, owns a house, car, et cetera, and it lets me follow my passion. So it's changed my life.
Dave, we'll have to wrap it up there. Thanks so much for your time today. It was great talking to you.
Thank you very much, Carolyn.
All the best with your trading.
Okay, cheerio.
Most traders act like a little kid in the markets. They don't know that a great trading plan is their secret weapon.
Isn't it time you grew the f*** up? Register on tradinggame.com.au and grab our free trading plan template. It's a sign of being a mature trader.
Big traders are big readers. Louise, what are you reading this week?
I've actually got one for us this week that is a book that I read a long time ago. I'm meaning to go back and reread it. It's an influential book. It's in, I would say, 99% of technical analysts' bookshelves, called Stan Weinstein's Secrets for Profiting in Bull and Bear Markets.
Tell us about it. What are some of the key concepts you got from it?
Look, apart from admiring this man's haircut, which is quite mullet-like on the front cover, he's actually a genius. One of the things that I loved is that he talks about share stages. So there are four share stages, stage one, two, three, and four, funnily enough. And it talks about where we are at in the markets. Are we like trundling along between support and resistance, or are we in trend? So that can give an overall guide in terms of, should you be trading long, should you be trading short, or should you not be trading at all?
Great. What else did you get from it?
I loved his sector analysis as well. The fact that he used RSC, so relative, that's a hard one to say, relative strength comparison. So he talks about top-down and bottom-up approaches, and that's the same type of concept that I use. I really wish that I had have learned about the share stages earlier on in my trading career. I just had no idea. I remember one time, way back when I was starting to learn about the markets, I invested in Qantas, and I really truly could not believe that that thing went down, and it was going down for a long time before I bought it. If I had have known that that was already in stage four, I would not have touched that with a barge pole. Now, if you think of how we can relate Stan's views to the current market conditions, currently we are in a stage two of the share market for the Australian markets. But frankly, this is a very messy stage two. We have higher highs and higher lows in general terms when you look on a weekly chart. But right now, it's just created a lower high. So I think we've pretty much dated this as being a February recording, which is a good thing to make sure that you're aware of when you're looking at any chart so that you know. But really, we are not in a massive stage two at all. So Stan would be saying, hey, if it's not a clear trend, then don't trade it.
And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. Jesus loves you more than
we caught up with Catherine Duck, a graduate of the Mentor Program, at the Alumni Dinner in Melbourne. We talked trading and Catherine told us what she liked about the program and how it's transformed her as a trader.
Catherine, tell us your story. You're a very successful trader. When did you start the Mentor Program?
I did it in 2011.
What were some of the main things that you've learned about trading?
I think the main thing was it's about 80% psychology and 20% technical skills, because even if you're given a profitable back-tested system, if you don't have the proper mindset, that can really throw a spanner in the works. So I love Louise's course and Chris because it's like holistic and they work on the technical side and the mental side.
So what mental qualities do you need to have to be a successful trader, do you think?
I think calmness. Staying, it hasn't always been the case though, following your rules, because there are going to be times when you need to take losses and you're going to draw down, and just to think of the overall picture and don't be afraid to admit when you're wrong. That's right. Now it's okay, but the problem in the past was that I wanted the trades to be perfect to get the best entry and exit, which is never going to happen. So it's really about looking at the big picture and following your plan, yeah.
What did you get from the program that you couldn't get from just reading Louise and Chris's books?
I think just connecting with other traders, because sometimes it's pretty hard mentally and emotionally when you're starting out. Just have a group of people who are on a similar wavelength, because, you know, you talk to your friends sometimes, they're like, oh, but that's too risky, even with my parents. So, you know, oh, be careful in the market, all that. So it's great to have this community, have people to discuss with, and just to, when you're having difficult times, just to know that there's people going through the same thing and hearing.
So I was going to ask that, like, how is trading hard emotionally?
I think it's all right when you're winning. You can get too happy, of course, but when you're having a losing streak and you want to, oh, I've invested so many hours into this, and you get frustrated. But like early on in trading, I was like, I beat myself up. Even when you don't get it perfect, even if you win, it's like, oh, but I could have gotten a better price.
Yeah.
It's like, just, you know, losses are part of trading, like cost of running a business. So you just take that in your stride.
And you don't have to get the perfect trade.
No, you don't. That will just kill you. So, yeah, now I'm much calmer. And since I've moved to a higher time frame, I used to trade 5-minute charts, and that was crazy. It was like playing Space Invaders. So, yeah, I've now moved to 4-hour trading. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So if someone was thinking about doing the mentor program, mm-hmm. but they weren't sure and they were sitting on the fence, what would you say to them?
Oh, just sign up, just jump onto the side of the fence, because seriously, this is the best trading course. I haven't come across anything that will work across the psychological side as well. And I believe that Louise is actually a trained psychologist.
Yeah.
Plus you have Chris as well, and other team likes it. Colin and Scott, who's a techie guy. I can say this is the best course in Australia. Oh, they say you find out a lot about yourself, like you trading, your account balance doesn't lie, and it just basically everything will just show up in your trading. Like for me as a kid, my parents were quite strict, and like if you got 98% in a test, you should have gotten 100. So it carried on, and I just realized that recently. That's why I was trying to aim for perfection, which it doesn't work, but I've gotten over that.
Do you love about trading?
It's the fact that you know that you can earn another income or part of income. the company that I used to work for went broke after the GFC, and I literally found myself on Monday with no job. Like, the administrators came in, but I just thought, I need something, but like, I'm not going to be reliant on a boss or like on TV, you know, administrators come in with the boxes. And yeah, that's when I decided I needed to take matters into my own hands.
How's your trading going?
Yeah, it's really good now. I'm just doing Forex, 4-hourly, and just one trade at a time. It's taken like 1 year to really become consistent as well. And I work at a stockbroking firm, so yeah, it's the journey as well, I think.
Ever heard of the seven deadly sins? Well, how do they apply to the share market? Today, we talk to Louise Bedford to find out. Louise, tell us the first couple of deadly trading sins.
Well, the first one would have to be trading against the trend. That is the thing that can totally murder a trader. The number of times when I was starting out that I'm like, oh, well, it's come down so low, I think I'll just buy it because it will know that I have intervened and I have breathed life into it. But actually, down, down, down we go. I actually found my trading diary from my very first year of trading recently. It was hilarious. Some of the trades that I was in, I just can't believe it. I just shake my head. So trading against the trend would definitely be the first one. The second one I would say would be greed. Oh, look, there's so many times where you just go, wow, this is going to be great. I'm going to be able to buy this and it's just going to assure my future in some way. In fact, if you listen carefully to traders and you ask them to say what they were thinking when they bought a share, often they'll be going, woohoo, this one's a sure thing. Oh, it can't go wrong. I hear so many good things on the radio, on the TV, this has to be a winner. So that's an unfortunate aspect too. Greed has to be one of those deadly sins.
Okay, so that's sin one and two, trading against the trend and greed. What are numbers three and four?
I would go with pride. Pride is an interesting concept. If you've made a windfall profit and it's something that you were not expecting, it's very tempting to attribute everything down to your own personal skills. I think it is interesting to give yourself a pat on the back. I do agree with that. But certainly be aware that you were just one variable within that entire range of variables. So if you've made a lot of wins or perhaps one really big win, be very, very careful with your next trade. My background with this, to perhaps to give you a little bit of an insight, is I made 9 option trades in a row, going both directions, going, you know, up and down on BHP quite a few years ago, and 9 in a row with options. And I was just like, hey, I am so good. I cannot believe what a star trader I am. I was telling people about it at dinner parties. I was going, so, oh, you know,
oh, no.
I'm so good. Oh, look at me. The sun is shining out of every orifice. And then how many losses do you think in a row?
I'm going to guess 9.
I had 13. 13 losses in a row. So that was my big experience with pride. It really got into my head that I was a star, and pretty much everything I touched after that turned to mud. So I don't advise that one at all. Avoid that thing.
Pride before a fall.
Number 4 would be envy. Do you know, sometimes it can seem like everyone around you is making a killing on the markets and that you're never going to make it, and poor you, oh, everybody's against you and they're all smarter than you are and they know inside information and maybe they've had more education than you and you're the poor little one in the corner fretting. Now, I think everybody has felt that way at some stage. Trading is such a big, complicated area. And do you know which gender feels this worse than any other gender?
Girls?
Yeah, women. Girls, girls, girls. What are we doing to ourselves? Oh, those girls over there, they know so much more than me. They're prettier. They've got better husbands. They live in a better house. And, of course, they're better traders. You'd expect it to be, wouldn't you? Mm. Our self-talk can determine our altitude with this. So just be extremely careful.
So girls listening, listen to this. Don't compare yourself to anybody.
That's it. We should be, you know, linking arms and sisters striving forward instead of comparing ourselves and perhaps coming off a second best in that comparison.
Okay, so that's pride and envy, especially for the ladies. What about the final three sins?
Dividend lust. Look, this is number five. I'm going with this to stand up as a bit of a catch-all for fundamental traders. There are so many fundamental traders out there, and they trade on profit and loss from the, say, annual report, and they think that they can determine what's going to happen in the future based on the ratios. Now, this is a really difficult one because I know within our psyche, we love a story. We love to know why things are happening. We love to know that they're doing well because of that CEO. Unfortunately, it's where people are going to back that horse as to whether that horse is going to win. It's people's perceptions rather than just how they look on paper. So dividend lust, but just because it pays a good dividend doesn't mean you should get involved. Simple as that. And number six, I would say, would be wrath. The market does not know you exist. If you are feeling cranky or bitter or you're just aggravated with the world, the market will provide a mirror for you and it will give you right back that which you were reflecting. So don't seek revenge if you've made a loss on a share. If you've got some little battle in your life that you're fighting, unfortunately, your trading might reflect exactly the same thing in your results. It just seems to be the way.
Like a mirror.
Yeah, definitely.
And what about the final one?
I would say capital destruction for the seventh deadly sin. One of Chris Tate and my associates, Dr. Alexander Elder, he is a top trader. He explained to me at one stage, we were out for dinner, and he was saying that there's a popular Russian saying that translates to, don't step on the same rake twice. I love that. So, you know, bang and then bang. We need to learn from our past errors. You know, if you are doing very well with the share market, I still think you should listen to these seven deadly sins, because sometimes we think that we're going well, but our subconscious will be out of whack with our actual results. So you can actually self-sabotage. So this is for people who aren't doing well, but also for people who are currently doing well in the share market. Always be vigilant, stand on your guard, and make sure that you are protecting yourself against losses in the market, no matter what stage of development you are.
Excellent advice, Louise. Thanks so much for your time.
Lovely.
That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Dave Bell, Catherine Duck, and Louise Bedford. Tune in next time to find out what to do if your friends think you're crazy for becoming a trader. Thanks for your company. See you next week.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.